I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
If you want to be my friend, you better go and get a pen. Maybe we can keep in touch like we did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago. Oh, 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 oh. And I wish you well.
Patrick Keenan of the Winter South coming at you with the award-winning... Wait, what is the name? It's like with the award-winning The Pen Pals theme. I guess that is the name of that song. It should have a name, though.
How long can you breathe in? Well, no, at the beginning, I tried to see how long I could do the breathe in.
It's hard.
You breathe in way faster than you breathe out.
How long can you hold your breath?
A long time.
Can you? Underwater?
Yeah.
Because underwater changes the mental state.
It makes it easier
or
harder?
Harder.
I think it makes it easier.
I think it makes it scarier, meaning the anxiety goes higher, your heart races faster, so your breath, your oxygen.
I think I could hold my breath way longer underwater than I can just sitting here.
Oh, because you could give up easily and because you go, oh, if I just breathe, I'm fine. But with water, you're like, well, I can't just start breathing.
I don't know. There's something about just floating and having your head underwater.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've hit like two and a half minutes.
No.
Yeah.
How long can you do it?
I don't know that I've timed myself recently, but in my...
I bet professional vocalists, though.
I have good breath support.
Yeah. I can't do...
I mean, it's like, you know, up at the cabin, everybody just...
Holds your breath. Well, you know, at the cabin, someone farts.
At the lake. No, I'm saying you're down at the lake.
Oh, you've had training.
Well, don't you do...
You mean you've had a lot of training.
With Elliot, you've never done, like, let's see how long you can hold your breath.
I mean, probably, but...
And then you hold her under.
Yeah, and you go, at least 5 minutes. Beat Tom Cruise's record. What did Kate Winslet do it for? Like seven minutes?
Like 7.5 or something. Or 7 minutes
and also
15 seconds.
Acting.
Yeah.
It isn't just like sitting there David Blaine style. She was like, and also I now must be a character who's telling a story.
Did you see the Netflix doc where they deep dive on the, they got
yes.
the cords?
Yes.
How long are they holding?
I don't know, but isn't it insane how they like kind of drowned but don't? And then they come back up and they just save them and they black out?
What's the deepest you've been underwater? What are you going to talk about your time on the abyss?
No, it's just so funny. Like when someone obviously lies, it's like 40,000 feet. Like, what?
Last summer at the cabin.
I have no idea.
I decided I wanted to see.
I think you told me this.
Yeah.
Which makes it scary because the deeper you go, the further from sunlight. Like you start getting into dark.
But it is. No, but it was crazy how.
You touched the bottom, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, not of the lake. Of the lake, but not of like how deep it gets.
Do you know the depth of the lake?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it's 53 feet at certain points.
Yeah, okay. You know, I've gone to a deep
The drop off is where we're at. It starts dropping quick.
You know when you go to like a public pool that has a legit deep end, it's usually like 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
Spring
18.
Lake in Rochelle was 13 feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like deep.
Yeah.
I got to say it's at a point now where at my age the last time when we were in Denver
last August, there was a public pool, and I was like, I'm going to touch the bottom of the pool like you always do when you're a kid.
How'd that feel?
And the pressure on my ears, I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Meaning, to answer your question, how deep can you go? I mean, for a contest or a significant amount of money, not bragging rights, that wouldn't be enough
20,
to push me.
Probably go 20.
I was about to say 20 might be where I go, I have to go back up. One, I'm about to breathe.
Yeah.
And two, my ears are killing me. So 20 might be my maximum. And the only thing that would push me to do it is a significant amount of like money in a
I was
bet.
Deep enough to where at the top you couldn't, it was dark, completely dark.
That's what's
no, I'm saying at the
scary.
Top. But then when I went down to the bottom,
it we're was, mermaids. Ariel helped me breathe.
There was still light when you get down there. It was very odd. I felt like it was somewhere around 18 feet.
Yeah.
It was like almost two of me above me.
You know what makes me scared in that situation, too, is that you can't push off to quickly resurface.
Why?
Oh, you went to 18 feet and touched the floor.
Yes, yeah.
I thought you meant like roughly you threw 18 feet in the middle of the lake and just came back up.
No. I got to the bottom.
Because I watched
but
you
at that
swim
point, it was
out to the middle from the dock.
Yeah.
And that...
I swim across that lake and
that
back
scared the
in
shit
the
out
summer
of me.
All the time. But I have a little like a flotation buoy thing that is around me that's bright neon.
Oh, what do you do around the waist?
Yeah, and then it trails behind you.
Oh, yeah, all right.
And I do it when there's no wake. But even still, you never know, somebody could. And then the other thing about that buoy is if you cramp up or anything, it supports you so you can hold on to it. So I do it safely. Yeah.
I just watched a thing on Instagram where only the truth lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like if you have jeans on and you fall off a boat or something, take the jeans off.
100%.
Tie the leg, and you
blow
can
them up.
Blow it, and like it will retain the air to where it can become a flotation device. Now think about today's blue jeans. Impossible. So many predetermined holes in these jeans. You're fucked.
Have you
that's
ever?
That's why I buy, it becomes a clear ad. That's why I buy a Wrangler.
Before we go to the
break, in case I fall off a cruise.
I have to ask you, have you ever bought jeans with pre-rips?
I've been using this word a lot, not egregious rips, but I definitely have bought jeans that have some knickknacks where you go, oh, little ticker tacker.
Okay.
American Eagle. What do you call that, Lisa? What do you... Why do I think you would know?
Some weather?
Why do I think a woman must know fashion?
Like distressed.
Well, yeah.
Distressed.
So, like...
Slightly distressed.
Gently.
Did you buy
Not just a fade. I mean, a legitimate, like, a little, I wish I had some on to show you.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But not you probably wouldn't
notice it. A little bit of thread.
Yeah, you get it.
Did you ever buy a hat where the bill was pre-ripped?
No, I wouldn't like because
that was in our
that was in our early 2000s.
Yes,
I have one of those from Abercrombie,
but hates pizza. hates pizza and pasta.
Question: I feel like I know the answer to, and it better. Be
I went
no.
back to that place again last night. Side story for our audience: has no idea what I'm talking about.
Better,
much better. There's a restaurant in LA where they fly the pasta in from Italy, and yet it still only costs like 15, 16 bucks something for like a.
Yeah.
It was better this time.
Have you ever bought jeans that has stuff on the back pockets?
Like filigree?
Is that what that's called?
Like doodly-doos?
Yeah,
it's called doodly-doos.
What's the New Orleans thing?
Yeah, the fleur-de-lis.
Yeah.
Fleur-de-lis, but it's like you get the... a boss who goes, I don't like the doodly-doos we're doing this year.
No, you haven't, right?
And they're like fleur-de-lis. No, the only time I bought something that was even
close, religion?
It's very true religion. The only time I got close was a pair of Diesel jeans. When I first started stand up, it's when I actually had a job, an actual like salaried job, and I bought some Diesel jeans. And I gotta say, they didn't have that, but I fucking loved those Diesel jeans. They were so. It was the first time I bought like designer jeans that actually when people are like, oh, they're so expensive. I'm like, yeah, but also these last way longer than my other $30
that I brought pre-ripped
jeans that I would buy. I go, these might be more expensive. I think they're like 120 at the time. And I was like, that's insane.
Of course.
I wore them all the fucking time. And I'm not even lying. If I still had them now, you could still wear them. They were very durable.
Okay.
Anyways, that would be 20 years ago. I probably bought them.
But nothing on the pocket.
There was, I think, on the back pocket, but it wasn't what it became with the Insanity. You probably wouldn't notice it unless I point out there's a little thread that does a little circle. Like, it wasn't, because I hate that. I fucking hate the pocket
thing. When I see a guy with I hate feel like it. Vegas is the only time I still see this.
Yeah, because it's accompanied by an Ed Hardy.
Yes,
shirt.
It's so.
But
Ed
I'm always
Hardy.
Like, look at that guy's little flair.
It does shock you
look
that
at
it's
his
still
little
a
flair.
Thing. It does shock you that it's still a thing.
Shocks me.
Yeah, I don't like
but it. But also make yourself happy. What? Who cares?
Hey, but also, we're allowed to have our opinions. You're not being a dick. You're just going, that's a
no, I'm saying
look.
I'm not going to rip them off of you. But
I'm not stealing them.
But look at you.
I don't want to insult you that I'm not willing to steal from you.
Right. I'm not going to pants you.
Yeah, I'm not
oh
going to.
Oh, my God. Somebody send us a letter about pants.
Give me these pantsed, true religions.
Or if you were a pantser and you've realized, man, what a horrible thing you were doing.
There's still some brands out there that are, I've been to, I was at pantsing. Nordstrom. I went and was looking around Nordstrom. There's still some brands that instead of going, oh, that style's done, doubled down, and now the jeans are so fucking crazy. And you're just looking at that like, who is doing this? Who is like, these are the jeans. These are the ones.
But I guess I am a man who owns shorts that have our two next, huge roses.
The next time we do a live event, we have to show up in what we both think are the craziest version of these jeans.
Are we going to talk about it or not acknowledge it at all?
No. If someone hears this or sees this episode, they're the only ones who are like, they talked about this. They said this would happen. Should we take a break and then get into it?
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the letters! I think you're starting it.
Okay.
Oh, it's in here. Why did I think... Good luck. Oh, snail mail. Daniel, how would someone have given this or mailed it to us?
Care of the Pen Pals Podcast, 5419.
Don't you break eye contact with me.
Sweet Hollywood. C. Hollywood, California.
Boulevard.
Sweet C. Number 121.
Los Angeles,
California.
And then I look for my one easy part, 90027. I hope our people are like, what did he say? Yeah. This is vodka. This is straight gin.
Do we smell that?
Oh, is it bad?
Oh, my God.
I think there was nail polish remover in there or something.
It does have a smell.
Oh, my God.
What, you know what?
Don't drink it.
Do you know what was in there?
Oh, you just don't like the idea of it. I agree. That smell is
tough. I feel like
it
was like nail polish
remover. Bad water.
Do you want me to run and grab you a liquid death for when I need to refresh?
No, we don't have any.
Yeah, we do.
We do. I'll go grab it. You stay. Okay. Leave it a recording. Tell a secret, Daniel.
Man, I don't really have any good secrets.
Not one?
No, I mean, I probably do, but this is how you...
No, thanks.
This is how you bury your trauma. I wish we could add Foley stuff here that sounds like Rory's going way upstairs, unlocking a whole bunch of locks.
Now I'm glug,
glug, glug.
Just leave this here.
Well, that probably will be there forever now.
Well, we don't want the jump cut. Or do we?
What?
Are we going to leave this in?
Leave all this in.
Okay.
Did you know this company just got valued at $1.4 billion?
That's why fastest growing beverage company. I was an early investor.
I have an investment that I'm watching.
Oh.
That I want to buy.
Oh, that you're watching to see if you want to get into it.
At first, it was at $28 a couple years ago. I was like, man, I should have gotten in. And then it went down and down and down, and now it's at $13 a stock.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Is it True Religion jeans? Or is it Canadian Club, 1858? If you're looking to have a Cabin Deluxe, don't hide from a blended Canadian whiskey or a Seagram's.
7 and 7 is such a... I'm a man at a wedding
it's
order.
It's easier.
Okay, you ready?
7-7 Rocks. 7-7 Rocks.
This,
it's nice, right?
I think it was handed to us.
Is that laminated?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a protective seal.
Oh, wow.
So imagine when AI really gets going. If this made Listen, I instinctively go, oh, wow.
Dear Daniel and Rory.
The simplest thing.
I think this was handed to me in Iowa.
Why do you think that? Does it say it?
I just have a vague memory, and because of what it's about.
It says Des Moines on the... What is the postcard? What is it?
NASA.
I like that. That's fun.
I know. It's great. Dear Daniel and Rory, last summer, I worked at the Iowa State Fair in my friend's saltwater taffy booth.
Big giveaway right there.
Yep.
Saltwater taffy.
The building I was in hosts all the fair's goofy contests, like the husband calling contest, hog calling contest, and... cow chip throwing contest, which my dentist won the women's division 1 year, and it's a guy. I'm joking. Thankfully, she wears gloves to work. Have you two won any silly contests? I once won a watermelon seed spitting contest in a tiny town's summer festival. I'd love to hear your ideas for goofy event contests because I run all of my small town events for my real job. I need ideas. Your pal, Stuart. P.S. Come check out the Iowa State Fair sometime and see our butter sculptures. 1 year, they made a butter Garth Brooks. This postcard is from
1847.
I don't know. Do you think that's real? The bottom that day? Or do you think that's just when the design was done?
Or when that company started?
Or did somebody buy this at like a thrift store and this is a postcard from 1983?
That's a great question. I don't know. This doesn't...
The front feels new.
Yeah, it feels like...
But maybe... Was that technology to do that sort of...
This feels like ahead
paperwork?
Of its time.
I know. He said, pointing at a space shuttle.
That's a great.
It's got like a
mood. But I gotta say, the back
is got like
when
a
you touch it,
mood
does
ring.
It,
yeah, it's got like the mood ring quality
this
to
is,
it.
If I went to like a science center and that would have been the thing I got myself at the gift shop. A
little postcard?
Well, a mood changing space
I don't know. Does it change?
Yeah.
Oh, it does change.
It's heat responsive.
I got to say, the back is tattered enough. Lutherans
were around in the 70s.
The back is tattered enough where you would believe it's...
From 1983.
Especially like the over here.
Right.
I don't know, honestly.
Okay.
If that is meant to look like it's from 1983, they did an incredible job.
David Liquid Crystals Incorporated. San Leandro, California is where it was made.
Did you... Where is... Did you finish the letter?
Uh-huh.
Where is like the Iowa State Fair? Where are the state fairs of like note? It's like Minnesota.
Oh, like California has a really good state fair.
But like, there's some that like there's one that's like considered like that's the state.
Really?
Fair. I always thought it was like I feel Minnesota. Like that's
how they all are.
Or Iowa. I feel like I think the Midwest crushes the state fair.
Yeah. Well, Taste of Chicago, it's not a state fair, but that one's pretty.
I think they just do it on a different level where it's like, they also treat it with more respect.
Yeah, well.
Like South Carolina, I'm sure has a state fair, but I don't even know. That's what I mean. But if you're from like Iowa, you're like, oh yeah, the state fair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've never been to... The Illinois.
Like, you'd assume Nebraska fucking launches it out of the atmosphere to the.
Can we be honest with what you're saying?
What?
Because everything else is so boring there.
I don't know. I do like Omaha. But I feel like they just treat it with more like.
I'm not boring, but I'm just saying, like, you got all the space in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And.
Like, Washington.
You're not known for, like, having a huge metropolis.
Yeah.
And so let's go all out on our goddamn state fair.
I went to the Washington one with Andy Haynes and his mom, Anita, and that was.
In Puyallup?
Yeah, and that was a fucking. That was fun. We would go.
It was the biggest thing. It used to be called the Puyallup Fair.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to Washington State Fair.
Yeah. It was legit.
Did you get a fair scone when you were there?
I don't. I mean, this was 06, I think. 06, 07.
So you were off scones.
And by then, I wasn't doing scones.
Yeah.
I was full muffin. I was actually doing muffins.
So the top.
But it had all the like agricultural things of like, come look at all these crazy pigs. And you'd be like, oh yeah. Wow.
And there's like a mutton yeah. riding contest or something. Little kids
yeah.
like
yeah,
ride
yeah.
sheep
yeah.
like bucking broncos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
yes.
so cute.
With helmets.
Do you want.
And there's rides.
Do you want to hear the top five?
Yes.
Most popular state fairs.
But do it Letterman style. Start at five.
Five.
And then we have to guess one.
The Tulsa.
Wait, hold on. Should we guess what that we think five are?
Okay.
All right, four. You said Tulsa. Yeah.
Five is the Tulsa State Fair.
Iowa, I think, is going to be on this. I think Minnesota is going to be on this. Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania?
Oh, that's a toss-up. I can't tell. I don't think Ohio's on there. Ooh, I bet you're wrong. Ooh. You think Ohio is on there? I'm going to go Nebraska.
I'm going to go Iowa. Iowa, Nebraska.
Texas?
Those
are my four. And we have a little bit of overlap.
You said a couple more that you didn't land on but are part of it. So, well, I'll do the top 10.
Okay, here we go.
10 is Oklahoma State Fair.
Ah, that's I feel like is... Ah.
9 is North Carolina.
Raise
up. Wow.
8 is Washington State Fair.
Nice.
Okay.
7 is Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
6 is Iowa, which is shocking to me. I would have thought that Iowa was lower. Higher.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
butter sculptures suck.
Then,
looks more like Kenny Chesney.
Looks like Chris Gaines to me.
Did you guys see that movie Butter? Oh.
Sergeant.
That's too good. Looks more like Chris Gaines.
Did you guys see that movie Butter with Jennifer Garner and Ty Burrell?
No.
It's about the Iowa like butter sculpture competition. It was kind of interesting. Number 5 is the Tulsa State Fair, which that doesn't
I like right. that.
Wait, what?
Wait, Tulsa State?
Yeah.
But not Oklahoma?
Oklahoma has 2 state fairs each year. They have
See what I mean?
The Tulsa State Fair is larger Oklahoma State Fair, but Tulsa State Fair is a silly name. Arizona State Fair is number 4.
I almost said Arizona, and I don't even know why. It just kind of popped in my head. And I was like, nah, it's not it.
Here's one that no one would have guessed. The Big E is what it's called, and it includes all 6 New England states, and they all get together.
That's
and
cheating.
One That's cheating. Yep.
I agree.
That's
cheating. I agree. Number 2 is Minnesota.
Okay.
And then number 1 is the State Fair of Texas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Texas.
There we go.
I felt it when you said it.
We're in Texas.
It is
probably Austin
and held in Dallas.
No.
Sand?
No. You keep sort of saying it. Sand.
It's held in Dallas at Fair Park.
Yeah.
2.5 million visitors.
Jesus Christ!
I have no desire to go.
I don't know. I'd go.
Well, if we're in town.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm.
Not. Oh yeah, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not flying in. Yeah, yeah.
No.
I happen to be here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even want to. I don't want to be at a billionaire's ball.
So going back to don't let Jacoby hear that. Going back to
he listens.
You know what? Honestly, fuck Jacoby.
We gotta
right?
talk. Hey, side note. We I need know. To talk to David.
Yeah, I have a chat. You mean confrontation?
Yeah, but I mean we really do.
Oh yeah. To the point of this, we used to do a fall festival at my school, as like probably all schools
sure.
did. And I got to say, one thing I always loved, I don't know that it makes sense for this, but the cakewalk.
What's a cakewalk?
Oh, so yeah. The cakewalk was, everyone would like kind of make cakes. You'd put them up on the stage, and then maybe it was different, I don't know. And then on the floor would be all these numbers.
And you literally walk around like to music. Is
so
that
the,
how you
so there was
oh,
that
I have
version.
A vague memory of doing
there
this
There was that
as a
version,
child.
And then there was also like, you'd pay like $5, which meant you got to pick a number. And you would just go stand on the number,
oh.
and they would spin the wheel, and if it landed on your number, you got to go pick out a cake.
But
and
why
as a
not
kid,
do, but why not do this with pie?
Well, I mean, you could. I think okay. so, I think it was mainly desserts. It was called the cakewalk, but it was like some
people
had like
would
cookies.
Bring treats.
And this is
yeah.
where the term
it was treats.
This
it was
is where,
treats,
and yeah. it's easy, and that's why people say it's a cakewalk.
Hey, a little
I'm
bit.
Dead serious.
I mean, a little bit. It's
because
that
it's
easy. It was so fun. It was so much fun.
The cakewalk,
and you would
was
be a kid who won a cake.
The yeah. cakewalk was a dance developed from the prize walks, which were dance contests with a cake awarded as the prize.
Yeah. The one you're talking about was a little like musical chairs-esque, right? Where you walk around.
Yeah. So you walk like all the numbers are in a circle and you walk, 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 and then you stop. And then they randomly draw a number and whatever number you're standing
on. Oh, okay.
On.
Actually, I like that more. You don't get to pick the number. It's just you get what
That's
you get.
That's how they did I it
feel
at
like
Juanita
I'm at a,
Elementary.
I feel like I'm at,
I like that.
I feel like I'm listening to like two people talk about how their families did White Elephant. You ever notice it's always like,
well, we
oh,
call ours
you guys
Nasty do- Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking of like carnival games.
Yeah.
I mean, my instinct is that I'm always getting, it's all like a ripoff. Like, you can't knock over the milk jugs. Also, what are these jugs?
Man,
what
I haven't
year
done any
are these jugs
for? Forever.
This isn't a softball, but it's not a baseball. What is this?
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, there's too many elements.
Dude, the
of
one
like,
at Dave and Buster's where you got to throw it into the jug.
Yes.
It's
you mean
this.
Where the ball is this big and the hole is that?
Yeah,
you can't
but
see it though?
This is the, you backhand it and you'll get it.
That's
almost,
the secret.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, a little bit of, I don't know what you call that. Reverse toss?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that what you say?
It feels like a softball pitch, kind of like.
Saltwater taffy?
Slow pitch softball. Yay or nay? That's what I was going to ask you. I almost interrupted the letter.
No, I almost did too.
Saltwater taffy, I can do about two pieces before I fucking am losing my mind of what is happening.
By pieces,
inside
do you mean a
teeth.
Bite?
No, I mean like, you know, because
aren't
a piece is like a bite.
Bite them.
They can be, but like, I was about to say traditional, but I don't even know if that's true.
Those kind of
are
like,
just like
they're
wrapped up
on the
just,
end.
It's just like a tiny little nugget.
What is it even?
I think
it's like a gum.
I think it's glue that didn't make the cut.
Right. And they were like, put a ribbon in it. Put a ribbon in it. These people will eat it.
These fucking idiots will eat anything. Make it pink.
I think saltwater taffy sucks.
I don't seek it out. If you got one out right now and said, it tastes just like root beer, I'm going to fucking eat it. I'm going to try.
Well, 100% of it tastes just
I'm
like root beer.
I'm not seeking it out, but I'm not so opposed. It used to be fun to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the
Raise
like
up.
Taffy machine that looks like it shouldn't be able to overlap but does, and so the taffy
Oh, that
just
thing, I could watch that for hours. That's like my own episode of How It's Made.
That is the first meditation app, actually.
I would agree with you 100%.
What was fun is that you would then go into like you'd see that in the window of like how it's done, and then you go see all the options. I got to say, as a kid, it was super fun to see how many different flavors there were. And I remember you'd have like a bag and we were allowed to pick out like, I don't know, a certain amount. So you'd try to pick out 10 of like, oh, this one's bubblegum. This one's root beer. This one's
okay.
orange. This one, you know.
Man, you're way more familiar with this than
well,
me.
Well, I think it's only because of this one particular place in Myrtle Beach that I even learned what saltwater taffy, that's what it was called,
yeah,
saltwater
yeah,
taffy
yeah.
even was. And as a kid, you're like, oh my God. But I got to say, even as a kid, I was like, I can't get it out of the, it's between my molars now. And now you're just like fucking annoyed.
Yes.
And it keeps hardening. The more you try to get it out, you're like, it's concreting.
This sucks.
Yeah. So that's why I say, like, on any given day, you know, once a decade, I'll have two pieces of taffy. I don't want it.
In Wisconsin Dells, which is Wisconsin's Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
It's all.
It is true.
It's all fudge.
Yeah, fudge is a big thing.
Fudge. Why is fudge?
It's too rich. I fucking hate
give
fudge.
Give me chocolate or make a fucking brownie. But why are we doing fudge?
Wow. These like fudge stores. You know what I mean? That are everywhere.
Also have
like Rocky Mountain,
like
fudge thing.
Indigenous,
you know,
people children's toys on the wall.
It's weird. It's a weird thing. I can't. I don't
like.
Oh my
god! I love fudge.
Of course.
What even is it,
Daniel? Don't, hey, Daniel.
Who sort of wanted brownies? Right?
Who wants brownies from last year? It's just a brick of just sugar. Why do you like it?
I think it's so yummy. I think it's so tasty.
I wish there was a way. Because there's no pasta in it.
That's what I was going to say. I wish there was a way that someone's, and this is probably available, or at least it will be in 10 years, someone scanned our tongues with a laser.
Yeah.
And then in a printable form, I could read what Lissa likes to eat. And I could see like actual a spike of like, oh, I can tell she likes this much. This food that makes her this happy. This food, she kind of likes it. Whoa, pizza. Hates pizza. That would be intriguing, especially for someone to look at and be like, why? She likes fudge. She hates pizza. And literally someone could look at it and go, I think this is an alien that came to our planet.
Like when I think about fudge, there's a fully formed man that I see. And he has on black shoes, high white socks, cargo pants, a red polo tucked in, a sun hat, glasses. He's holding like a brown paper bag and like yelling for Bethany.
And he likes fudge?
Loves it.
Oh my God. I was like, what? This is so specific.
And he has a white
beard. I think you were assaulted by someone.
He has a white beard.
Okay. This is a real story.
And he goes, come here. Come here with me.
Get away from even that. I'm wiping that off.
No, but I just mean, it's just like
a fudge?
A tourist man, you know, and a wife with like a Vera Bradley purse. And they're just like
a bag of saltwater taffy.
Yeah. And they're like, let's get some of this fudge.
Where when it's brownies and it's like fudgy frosting, and I mean soft, even then I'm like, it's too rich.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hot fudge on a Sunday.
You like white fudge?
That's as far as I'll go.
No. And it's only a little bit, and then it's too sugary. I mean, it's like a ganache. It's like ganache for me. It's so.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's super rich, but I love it. It's so yummy.
That's so interesting.
And with taffy, I get so excited. I'll have a piece and I get so jazzed, and then I buy a bunch. I'm like, what did I just do?
Like, you get like a pound bag.
And
like,
I throw it all out because I'm like, this, I
won't eat this in 30 years.
This.
I won't
it's
eat
horrible.
All this. And the sad thing is, in 30 years, still just as fresh as day one. The world, the air and bacteria still hasn't touched it. It's like a McDonald's burger that you got in 1980. Still fine right now. Fungus, bacteria hasn't
You're
even
good.
It's like, well, why would we eat this?
We'll get out of this, but we didn't talk about any contests.
I mean, we talked about the cakewalk.
Sure.
up
in Wisconsin, in Princeton, Wisconsin, for years they had a thing called the chicken fling. And it
I feel like I'm opposed to this.
No, you know me. It was a contest where they would have rubber chickens.
Yeah.
And by age group. It was who can throw a chicken fling the farthest. And there was a guy every year would show up in a full tux and top
cargo
hat.
Cargo pants, white beard.
And he would go, it's me again.
Watch how far I throw it.
Yeah.
And then he just like eats a little bit of fudge, puts it back in his pocket.
Yeah. Just haphazardly wrapped in a napkin.
Like, oh, I think I see why you hate fudge. Yeah.
This guy in a full tux and top hat, and he won. He would win. He won like 3-4 years in a row, just throwing a rubber chicken farther than anybody. And then on the third year after winning, somebody was like suspicious, and they went and inspected his rubber chicken. And he was dropping metal bearings into the rubber chicken's little gullet so that it would he would have the weight to throw it farther than everybody else. And it was a huge controversy. And now they don't do the chicken fling anymore.
Yeah.
But that was a odd contest.
Wow.
I love these weird contests. The hollering contest.
Sure.
The turkey gobble contest.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, I would stop one. For a full day and watch any weird contest happening. And then, of course, talk about it on stage that night.
But. Yeah.
I know this one is like so much more basic, but my, like when we'd go to the fair, my male friends would spend hours seeing how fast they could throw a baseball, period.
Like, oh, if they had a speed pit, like a gun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Forever. I mean, they would just spend, like, I'm like, let's go do something else.
Without knowing, because I don't think you do. How fast can you throw a fastball?
Maybe.
And I mean today, not in your life.
Yeah.
We go right now and we do it.
58 miles per hour.
You know what? I'm so inexperienced. I don't even know what that means.
Nothing.
That's pretty significant.
Mm-mm.
I bet I can't.
What would Brody always say? 88 no, or 70, 78 with movement?
He would get up there.
Yeah, but he had something like that. It was like Brody always was 71 with movement. Yes.
So good. The added detail of it with movement.
Yes. You got
know.
It.
I don't know what I'd throw.
Still heaters.
You know what?
What would your guess be?
I bet if I could throw it. I bet I could throw it well enough where if Brody were here and saw it, he would go, okay.
That is exactly.
He wouldn't be impressed, but he would go, that's better than I thought you'd do. And I would go, same. That's
how I feel. You're in the 50s.
Maybe. If I had to put money down, I'd probably go, I bet I could get it low 50s at minimum. Like, or at that, I could be in that range and go, all right, that might be my
in tops. 5 years after we do another escape room.
Yeah.
We should find a place that has a gun and find out.
Oh, I mean, there's so many, but you can buy guns anywhere. Oh, you mean range? What do you have?
Speed.
Have you done a background check? Because that's the only way you can get a speed gun.
It's a whole process.
Dude, you're going to wait 3 weeks. First off, you're going to wait 3 weeks to get a speed gun.
All right. Oh, did you sign this? Yes, Stuart. Stuart, I want to know everything. Please follow up. Send it over to the Patreon. I want pictures of these people and who won.
Yeah, give us some picks and some games.
Yes.
Specific games that you already do.
Thanks so much. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk.
And Rory Scovel.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back!
Bing, bang. You're in Plugs and Hugs with Roar Boar and Dan Man. You like Dan Man, don't you?
I'm going to be honest, Rory, you've reached a point where...
It's cycled back. I have to call you Mr. Van Kirk.
I don't know. I don't care what
you've actually moved further away from what you were allowed to call me.
I mean, once you like abused me with Daniel Vaniel Caniel, everything else is like, sure.
Yeah. But let me ask you, do you like Daniel Vaniel Caniel more than Dan?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. So I think someone was respectful when they came up with
that. I didn't. That was zero hesitation.
Also, Rory Maury Scory. I think the scales have balanced.
Yours is funner.
Did you come up with Rory Maury Scory?
Man. I don't know. When is what?
I mean, that was like month one for sure.
Yeah. Ish. That's wild.
Someone writes us, they're like, it was 4 weeks ago. You're in Plugs and Hugs with Daniel and Rory. I have a special on Max, and I have three seasons of Physical on Apple TV Plus, and I sell my paintings on my website. Go to RoryScoville.com for that, and I've been doing some shows in L.A. with Chad Damiani at Elysian Theater, so if you're in L.A., the best place to find all my stuff is either follow me on Instagram or RoryScoville.com.
Nice.
I think that's everything. I don't fucking know, dude.
I'm at DanielVanKirk.com, and my first special, Rose Gold, drops on April 17th, the week or so before that, on the 9th, which I think is the night after you do a show. I'll be at the Elysian Theater running Rose Gold in Los Angeles. Go to DanielVanKirk.com. If you're in the Midwest, come out to Thrasher Opera House. They like when you say that name in the right order.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the TOH. Come to the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, Wisconsin on Saturday, May 18th. And if you haven't yet, watch Wine Club. It feels great to meet pen pals after shows. And when they say, oh, hey, like with you, I'm sure when people are like, dude, I fucking love Robbie. You're like,
you liked it.
Thank you.
People
you get it. Yeah.
Feels good.
So I appreciate when people check out Wine Club because I also think you'll enjoy it. Other than that, DanielVanKirk.com. There's also merch there. We might have sold some merch. I haven't gotten any reports yet, but I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But you can get the I Wish You Well hoodie. So.
I mean, let me say something about that hoodie. It's a fucking dope hoodie.
I love that.
And I'm not saying it's a dope hoodie because anything related to us is on it. And I'm not saying it's a dope hoodie because we make a little bit of scratch if you buy it. I am saying it legitimately is a very cool. It has
people
like
love the responses they get when they wear it.
It's got a slim fit.
It does.
And it's snug and comfy. And I think it's a great hoodie, personally. And I literally don't mean that because it's affiliated with us in any way. It actually is a good quality hoodie.
Yeah, go to DanielVanKirk.com.
We wouldn't sell you guys shit. Although, just below that hoodie, we are starting to sell some shit. April 17th, you're so excited. Rose Gold.
I hope people like it.
Final performance, Elysian Theater.
April 9th.
And then it just lives forever.
Yeah. And then when I'm in Wisconsin, I'm probably just going to do all the hits.
Smart. Yeah. Smart move. Mm-hmm. Blair! better.
Ooh, I like that.
Are you ready? Let me just say this.
What if we
just
name the bird paper?
Paper bird. Paper bird.
Paper.
Paper.
Wait, what were you going
to
say?
Read along, but I also kind of want you to really hear me telling it to you as opposed to you reading it.
Which one do you want me to do?
Just hold it. And if I say something crazy, go back to it. This is just fun. I think this is just a crazy letter for people to digest. Fellas, long time, first time here, and I'd like to nerd out with you. The randomness in a shuffled deck of cards is absolutely mind-blowing. You may have heard that there are so many combinations for the order of a deck of cards that it is a near statistical impossibility that any two shuffled decks in the history of the world have ever been in the same order. But it's even wilder than that. Now, this is where I kind of don't want you to read. I want you to really hear this.
Yeah, but my listening comprehension is really bad.
I know, but I think this will blow your mind more.
All right, I'll try.
There's a great YouTube video that walks through this, and anytime I want my mind blown, I go back to it. The number of possible card combinations is 52. That's 52 factorial, or 52 times 51 times 50, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So stop shouting 52 at each other. We've got a lot to get to still. And they're not wrong. We almost would have done that. 52 ends up being 8.0658 times 10, the arrow thing, 67.
Wait, the what? I don't know what it is.
To the 67th to power the 67th. Is what that means.
Okay, to the 67th power.
Do you think you would have gotten there?
Never. Or base. I don't think I got there when I learned it in school. Or basically an 8 followed by 67 zeros.
I have to look.
No, let me keep going.
Okay.
That's a big fucking number. So big that if someone, here's where I need you to really listen. So big that if someone started shuffling a deck of cards, shuffling it one time per second, here is what you could do to kill the time while they were working through all of the combinations. Every 1 billion years, you take one step. Each time you walk all the way around the fucking planet, at one step, every 1 billion years, take one single drop of water out of the Pacific Ocean. Eventually, you will drain the Pacific Ocean, and when you do, lay a single sheet of paper on the ground. Refill the ocean, and keep going. Do this until the stack of paper reaches the fucking sun. That's a stack of paper 91 million miles tall.
It's gonna burn.
Each piece of paper representing one time you drain the Pacific Ocean, drop by motherfucking drop, then you're done. Just kidding. You would have to repeat this process one step every billion years, drain the Pacific Ocean, stacking sheets of paper to the sun 3,000 more times. All the while, the person has been shuffling the same deck of cards once every second, nonstop. Like, what the fuck, right? Anyway,
is love it you guys Friday yet? Back,
which maybe isn't very much after all. Can you? Did that make sense to you? I know that's a lot to take in.
It's a lot. Real. I think you should go through it again.
Oh, okay. My God.
Are you for real? Someone is shuffling a deck every single second. Literally at this pace. That fast.
What are you, paper?
Not a bad time effect. And every 1 billion years, you only take one step. 1 billion years, you only take one step.
Okay.
And each time you actually walk all the way around the planet, at one step every 1 billion years, you take one single drop of water out of the Pacific Ocean.
But
one
how
single
long would drop. That take?
A I don't even think our brains can comprehend it.
No, I'm saying how long would it take to
I'm
walk?
I'm only now realizing I think this is bullshit.
Your pal, Ponters.
Your pal Ponters, you stupid fuck. When will you get it? When will you finally get it? I own you. Like, oh, Jesus. But do you think we've at any point?
This doesn't seem real.
Because it's seems only 52 so insane.
Cards.
I guess. I don't know. Until you get it back to being the exact same way it started, it seems like an impossibility. Like, it almost seems infinite. But apparently, after the sun 3,000 times,
what would
over
happen?
The course of, I guess, a gazillion years, and I don't even know what a gazillion is.
That's what would happen before the cards got back to how they were before you shuffled them?
I think that's right. That would get you back
to the
odds
original.
Of
it.
Yeah. That's what it would take.
Can I tell you a magic trick?
Yes. Yes, you
this
can.
Is one of, this is the easiest card trick.
And this is
do.
The most exciting type of magic trick when someone goes, can I tell you a magic trick?
I've got a deck of cards. If you want, I can show you.
No, just walk me through it.
Okay. This is the easiest trick in the world.
The worst pitch ever is, can I tell you a magic trick?
Look, I don't have to. Do you think that should be like our dating profiles?
What?
Like Rory, 43. Can I tell you a magic trick? That's what it says.
I could tell
your
you
bio.
So many magic tricks. All right, tell me a magic trick.
Okay. This is great for like kids.
Okay.
The way cards work out statistically, this is another weird thing about shuffling cards.
Yeah.
That the probability is almost 100% that you can name any two cards in the deck and they will be next to each other, or at worst have one card in between them.
Oh.
So you could say to Elliot, we're going to do something fun. Name any two cards. You could say a king. You could say a king and eight. You could say a three and a four. You could say a five and a jack.
Does the suit matter?
Nope.
You're just saying the number.
You just say.
Yeah.
Okay. You just say a six and a ten, right? And then shuffle them, do whatever, let them mix them up. They could do whatever they want, which for a kid is very like, oh, I'm a part of this. I'm going to, you know?
Yeah.
And then you just go boom, boom,
until
boom.
You hit one of those numbers.
Well, you'll so say they said a jack and a 10, or a jack and a 9, whatever. You just flip, and the probability is almost 100% that you will either get a jack and a 9 next to each other, or 9, then jack, because it doesn't matter.
Sure.
At worst, you will put one card
between them.
And you could do this with any deck of cards, any sort of shuffle for any kid.
That's insane.
Now, I'll tell you the great follow-up trick to this.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact equation.
That's okay.
I could try and find it.
I'm consoling about
there's
the
some math
thing.
Equation.
Hey, that's all right.
There's some math equation where you say like, give me the year you were born, and then you name a number or whatever. There's sort of like math stuff like this where you'll always end up at 17.
Yeah.
Like you'll always end up at 17. And so the great trick you could do is you do the first one. Right? The person's like, wow, you really put an ace and a five next to each other. The second trick is you already know you're going to do, and the equation is always going to end up at 17. The person gives you their birth year and then their favorite number and then a number, whatever. And so what you do is when you are doing the ace and the five together and you're flipping, you count in your head and you get to whatever the 17th card is. Okay. So now I know the 17th card is the eight of hearts. And I just kept going until I got your two cards next to each other. Like, wow, you did it. Then the next trick, you say, give me a piece of paper, and you write down eight of hearts, and you fold it, and you tell them to put that in their pocket. And then you tell them, what's your birth year? What's your favorite number? Da, da, da. And you get that equation, and it comes up with 17. And you're like, okay, so it was your birth year. You picked the numbers, and we came up with 17, right? And they're like, yes. And be like, okay, let's go to the 17th card in the deck. Da, 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 da,
I like that. Hearts.
And then you go, I need you to reach into your pocket and pull that out. And so the first trick actually sets up the
second trick.
Yes. And the first one's sort of fun, and the second one will blow their fucking mind.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like
And then you look
being
at your
raised religiously and then learning that it factors into politics.
you go. So basically what you do is you do a very simple scare, right? And then that turns into a vote.
And then that turns into enslavement.
And you get a vote. The first thing you just scare. It's a very irrational scare tactic.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, all of a sudden you go, and now who are you voting for?
And then you get to pick who you're going to vote for based on what scares you. God, I'm not going to lie. This is so true. This is like sadly just truth.
But like I have reached the age in my life as I think about whether or not I want kids.
Yeah.
Where we talked about this actually after your screening. Introducing them into media that you love, places that you love, like – I'm sort of feeling the urge to it would be my 4-year-old or 3-year-old get them jazzed for the cabin.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and then also blow their mind with magic.
Yeah.
Like, are you a god? And you're like, I am.
Until you turn 14.
And then we're going to fight.
And that's when we hate each other.
At this cabin.
Yeah. And then you hate the cabin. Yeah. And then when you turn 25, we both realize the error of our ways, but it's too late. Right. Time has passed.
Right. And I don't drink anymore.
And also, I don't even like the cabin. And I never liked the cabin. And sadly, at the end of the day, that's what we had in common all along.
I love cards, and I love.
Oh, here's what I was
going to
say.
Letter.
Have we talked about the Magic Castle and having gone there or not gone there? I can't remember if we've talked about it here or if I've talked about it with someone else or us off of the show.
You did talk about bringing Elliot when you brought.
Oh
Elliot
yeah. Had you guys gone?
I have been. I went on Halloween a couple years ago, and it was unreal. It was so fun.
Yeah. It's. Have you been?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty. I bring that up because of what you were just saying about that card trick and how like impressive that is and how it is like a setup game and it's a whole thing. It's like, you know, similar to stand up in that way of like, I've done this setup and when I do this callback, you're gonna think it's a magic trick, even though it's not.
It's
like
true.
It's not crazy, but it is clever. It's clever in what it is. I think magicians are always labeled like weird and creepy and socially whatever.
Sure.
And I get it, sure.
Yeah.
But there should be a lot more respect paid to a good magician because that is a very difficult, bizarre form of entertainment that requires so much precise discipline and practice and focus. And imagine... You and I don't have to reinvent the wheel of how we tell a joke or a story.
Sure.
We kind of get to use the broad strokes that have been there.
Although reviews are saying that we did this year.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But with magic, it's like, you can do a card trick, but when someone really blows your mind, it's because they've tweaked it or they've changed it or they've reinvented it in a way. And I feel like that's a lot of pressure in terms of creativity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, magicians don't get enough credit, I think, for how incredibly insane that entertainment is.
Everyone experiencing it loves it, and everyone hearing about it kind of side-eyes it.
Yeah.
But like when it's in front of you, you're like, this is unreal.
And we also mock it, like, look at this guy, he's a fucking magician. It's like, I feel like it's like in medieval times mocking a wizard. It's like, I don't know. I mean, he's magical. You're talking about motherfucking Archimedes right now, dude.
I have a genuine question for you.
Is that who it was? Merlin. Archimedes was the cat, at least in the Disney version.
Oh, God, I love Sword in the Stone's one of my all-time favorites.
Is it? Have you watched it recently?
Well, like maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Didn't hold up for me.
Why?
It's not, nothing's really happening.
What do you mean with the squirrels?
He just suddenly is
King
Arthur.
When they have the duel?
He's just suddenly King
Arthur.
That's the best part of it.
What?
Yeah. He said, no invincibility. I'm not. I'm a germ. That's how he wins.
Yeah. And he gets her sick.
Yeah.
Do you believe in
magic?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think there's real?
No.
You don't think there's people levitating?
No. Now, do I like the suspension of disbelief? 100%.
Of course you do.
And I'm not here to... As we all try to figure out how something's done, I don't spend a lot of time because, one, I'm not going to figure it out. But, two, that's like... I like the childlike wonder of we as humans can dazzle each other with something as difficult to do as, oh, my God, was Daniel flying? Like, that's crazy. But someone can execute that? You're like... I mean, I have to respect that.
My thing is, like, if somebody can levitate or do magic, what are they doing with that?
You mean, like, for real?
Yes.
I don't think it's real, Daniel.
But I know, but I'm saying, even if it was, what are you doing with it?
Well, they're an entertainer.
You think? And they just, everybody thinks it's fake and it's real?
Oh, you mean they are legitimate, magic is real, and they legitimately have powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah, I mean, if their power is only, I know which card you have, and I didn't even have to guess. I already know instinctually.
Well, now you're just playing blackjack every night.
Yeah.
But you're quickly going to get banned.
Yeah.
Because you don't lose enough.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, unless you're in some sort of Nicolas Cage, there's a secret war happening behind the shadows that the rest of us don't see. Yeah. Unless that's happening... You can't tell people you levitate.
Yeah.
And we'd all know about it if you could. So what are you doing with that power?
Yeah.
Even if it's real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if you could like create flames from your fingers.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this weird?
I mean, I'm pretty sure you can get laid whenever you want because hell yeah, that's a turn on for me.
I mean, that's some
magicians. Magicians over the top, sort of like they ruin it a little bit for themselves. Like when someone's like, "I make fun of magicians," like, and I see why.
Well, see, that's the thing. Some magicians are up there kind of doing a dance.
There are some. I think that's sort of. Shit. I think I might have mentioned this, but when I went to the Magic Castle with Deirdre, actually,
yes,
and Mike and Jordan, I think, and their friend Ian, when we all went, the bartender. In the downstairs space, you know, they're all magicians, but it was like, you guys want a drink? And we made a drink. And he's like, and then no one knew was there. And so he's like, do you guys want me to do like a little show? And you're like, fuck yeah. Like this. Yeah. And just closer than you and I are sitting with a bar between us is doing tricks where like different fruits are coming out of the cups. And like, you're sitting there going like, I know it's not magic, but the thing that is so fucking impressive is how your sleight of hand of pulling this off without me even being able to guess how you did it or point to a mistake so close is fucking mind-blowing. And you're not on a stage. You're you're behind a bar doing a show and making drinks. And I was just like, this is so much more impressive than people give it.
Credit. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like rob somebody.
You're right.
What are you doing with it?
You're right.
Last question before we'll go. Can you do the bridge?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you learn?
The Bible.
I remember learning on Rosemary's front room floor. I just practiced over and over because I wanted to be able to do it like she could do it.
The sad, depressing part that Daniel's not sharing, and I know he's built Rosemary up to be a saint, but she made him learn it, and she was pretty violent about him not being able to do it. She threw him to the ground. So you learn how to do the bridge. Yeah. Impress my friends when they come over.
Cool, because I wanted to start getting promoted from again? Cigarette holder.
What's her drink?
As if she smoked. Rosemary doesn't smoke, you a-holes. A screwdriver? You let her do it. Clank, clank, clank.
You have been living in denial of how like fucking horrible things were.
Yeah,
but Daniel really builds it up like they're really close, but I think she was wildly abusive. And it was only that. After that, best friends for life.
Yeah.
But until you learn that bridge, you mean nothing. You are not of blood.
Nothing at all.
Chris, great letter. So mind-blowing. I hope all that's true. And I don't know. If you ponders us, I don't even fucking care. We're so numb to it now.
I kind of want to watch this YouTube.
We're going to find it. Actually, maybe...
He sent it. We've got it.
Oh, did he? It's in the thing. Yeah, yeah. We'll check out that YouTube. Chris, thanks so much. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel.
And Rory Scovel. Oh. If you want to be my friend, you had better be.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.